Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to continue the thought of deception, a reminder of our need for God's grace. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you deceived yourself and you came face to face with a situation that was just bad, and you looked for somebody to blame, and every arrow pointed to you. You couldn't get out of it. It's your fault. It's your fault that you're there. It's your fault that you feel like you do. It's just you've deceived yourself, and you say, wow. And hopefully then you allow God to correct things, and you do what you need to do in the way of confession and so forth. But then you get things taken care of. But to deceive ourselves is a terrible thing. Beginning in verse number 1 of chapter 6, Paul has written this letter. He's been pretty harsh with these Galatian churches, plural, chapter 1. Now he's trying to kind of bring it back down to a place where he's really saying, I love you, and you need to really pay attention. Don't forget how much I care. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught of the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's where we finished last week, and we're going to continue now to look at some things where God speaks about us deceiving ourselves. And so let's ask God's blessing again upon his word. Father, we come to you with this book. Lord, it's open. We've read some of it. We want to make application of that to our hearts and our lives. And Father, we know that that's the responsibility and the job, I guess, of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that we would allow him to do a work in our heart. Help us, Lord, not to grieve him. Help us, Lord, not to quench him, not to hinder him today, that he might do his full work, and we might leave here saying, I have been ministered to by Almighty God himself, and the Holy Spirit of God would smile upon our attitude when we leave. We love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to your word and to your working in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we've looked at this portion of Scripture, we found that Paul speaks much of grace through this book, but he mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if we defile this temple, God said he will destroy it. He will destroy it, and I believe that we can defile the temple in a number of different ways. We can defile it with activity, plus or minus. Too much activity, not enough activity. And I think the way you know how much activity is, of course, be hooked up with the Lord and do what he says. But he says if we don't take care of it, he will destroy it. Now, he doesn't say he's going to chop it off all at one time, but he says he will destroy it. And I've told you, I'm sure, and maybe even a number of times, that I believe that I defiled this temple with my attitude when I allowed some things that happened in my life to allow me to get bitter. And God ended up giving me, I think, asthma. I think that's the reason I have asthma today, is because of defiling this temple, because I took it upon myself to wish harm on some people, and that I should have just left that up to the Lord and went on. And so we need to be careful not to violate the temple. The second thing he mentions is in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Bible says that if we think of himself to be something when he is nothing, we deceive ourselves. And of course, here we're talking about valuing self too highly. Now, I believe the Bible says we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, so that would tend to indicate to me that we're supposed to think well of ourselves. But we need to understand this too. As much value as we might think we have, we're absolutely of no value for eternity and no value to this world if we're not saved and not surrendered to the Lord. Only by surrendering to the Lord can we be the full value that he wants us to be. But when we begin to be high-minded and heady and begin to think we're something when the Bible says we're nothing. The Bible said we've just deceived ourselves. And then we noticed last week in chapter 6 in verse number 7, the Bible speaks of not being deceived. Now, it doesn't talk about self-deception there, but it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. And we know that every farmer knows that he cannot go out and plant corn and expect to reap soybeans. He can't go out and plant alfalfa and expect to reap apples. He can't do that. Neither can we go out and sow contrary to the scriptures and expect to reap good. But when we really take it into context, he's talking back to verse number 6, when it says, let him that is taught of the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. He's talking about taking care of the preacher. We worked on that pretty good last week, so we'll not spend more time there. But go with me now, if you will, please, to the book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse number 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And here, so the Bible says that the voice, what we say, how we talk, can be evidence of the fact that we're just kidding ourselves. The Bible speaks of the fact that our tongue is supposed to be bridled. In fact, he talks about the tongue being a world of fire. And boy, how many times lives have been destroyed by the tongue. And we'll mention more of that in the morning service. I thought it was unique that God brought us to this portion of Scripture and to Psalms chapter 64 at the same time. I think that's a reason for that. In chapter number 3 of James, beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poisons. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so here the Bible tells us that our tongue can be an evidence of the fact that we are deceiving ourselves. We've been deceived. And I mentioned that lives can be destroyed, families can be destroyed, reputations can be destroyed simply by the tongue. I guess I think it was in World War II the idea was out, and it was expressed to the military people that loose lips sink ships. And talking about just getting around, just visiting, just talking, and give out some piece of information that could cause a harm to a military vessel or to a military procedure. And we need to understand that little thing that's in there in our mouth there, that is something. You know, people say, bite my tongue, and sometimes we ought to. I've wished a couple times someone would bite their tongue off, and so they'd just be unable to speak anymore, because it seemed like everything that they said was contrary to the scriptures and harmful to someone. But the Bible tells us here in the portion of scripture we've just read that no man can tame his tongue. No man can tame his tongue. There's an old saying that says there's not a horse that can't be rode or a rider that can't be throwed. And that's true, but there is a part of the body that no man can control. And that's the tongue. And the only person that can control your tongue is the Lord Jesus. And the only way he will is if we're in submission to him. And listen, we're fooling ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves if we believe anything different than that. Now, a lost person is not going to do that. Now, I know lost people who are kind. They speak kind. They speak sympathetically. They speak with compassion. But they're doing that because the devil wants them to do that. The devil doesn't make a drunk or a dope fiend out of everybody that's lost. If he did, it'd be bad advertisement. But we know the Bible testifies that the tongue no man can control. And verse number 8, it says, but the tongue can no man control. tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And we need to understand the truth of that. And so only the Lord can absolutely bring charge and control over our tongue. I heard one time of a lady who came forward, and the preacher met her. She came forward, and he said, what have you come for? And she said, Preacher, I just really need to put my tongue on the altar. And he said, well, we only have 24 feet of it, but help yourself to what you can use. And we know that sometimes we need to do that. We need to just put ourselves where we can't be injuring people with our tongue. We need to dedicate our tongue to the Lord. And sometimes, you know, the Bible even uses the indication here. He said, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then he asked the question in verse number 11. He says, doth a fountain send forth as at the same place bitter water and sweet? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or even a fig, either a fig, either a vine fig, excuse me, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his good works and meekness of wisdom. And then he talks about bitterness in your heart and strife and so forth. But our tongue. And sometimes, you know, people will say things. They have no idea how they have injured a person. I remember when we were pastoring in Gillette, Wyoming, we didn't have two nickels hardly to rub together. We were struggling financially, and God was taking us through a lot of financial training and so forth, and for which I'm very thankful for, but I would not want to go back through again. And somewhere or another, I don't know if we got a little extra offering somewhere. We were drawing, I think at that point, $145 a month support, and the church was paying us $25 a week, and so we had $250 a month, basically, and paid our own rent and everything, and it was a struggle. But some way or another, we got enough money. We went to Gibson's, which is like a cheap man's Kmart, or a cheap man's, I guess probably Kmart. And we went there, and my wife found a dress, and she loved the dress, and I believe that she was expecting a child at that time, and we got her this dress, and it was beautiful. She loved it, and she wore it to church, and one of the ladies came to her and said, my, what a beautiful dress. Well, where did you get it? She said, I got it at Gibson's. She said, it's a piece of trash. It'll fall apart the first time you wash it. And she went on about her business, and my wife was crushed. She's a young woman at that time, and something that just destroyed her inner being for a little bit. And I don't know how long she waited to wash it, because she was afraid the first time she washed it, it would just literally fall apart. How easily we say things sometimes and don't have any idea the far-reaching effects of what we've said. And so we need to make sure we don't deceive ourselves by allowing our tongue to run wild. We talk about God having control of our life, but if he doesn't have control of our tongue, he does not have control of all of our life. We've just deceived our own selves. And so it's very important that we give our tongue to the Lord. He wants to master our tongue. He does want us to use it to praise him, but he doesn't want us to use it, what does it say, to curse men that are made after the similitude of God. And so we need to be careful. Paul's talking about deceiving ourselves. There's a way we can do that. And then if we'll go to 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1, so we see that we can defile ourselves, or excuse me, we can deceive ourselves by violating the temple and think we're going to get rid of it or get away with it. We can deceive ourselves by valuing ourselves too high. We can deceive ourselves by understanding that how we pay the preacher, take care of the preacher and his finances is how God's going to take care of us. And then we can deceive ourselves by our tongue being loose. And then here's another one. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, this does not say if we say we have not sinned, because that's covered down in verse number 10. That's talking about today, present in your life and in my life. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that's not very flattering, is it? When Almighty God says, I know you confessed your sin this morning. I know you did. I know you read your assigned portion of Scripture today. I know you did. I know when you stopped to get fuel, you talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus. I know you did. I know you brought something with you to give to somebody at church today just to be a blessing to them. I know you did. But I'm telling you, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. Thank you. It's either that way or we need to cut that verse out of our Bible and then explain to people why we have a hole in our Bible instead of a holy Bible. And I find that troubling. I find that troubling because when I get up off my knees from confessing my sin and I look at that, it says, Brother Sutton, if you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself. And so I have to get back on my knees again and ask God to search me like David has searched me and know me, O God, and try my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me. And usually, you know, we get up from talking to the Lord or we come to the end of our conversation with the Lord. We're just musing and thinking and boy, something will run through our mind and you say, oh my goodness. And we're supposed to cast down imaginations and every false thing that rises up and we just wrestle with those things. And we're always in the need of grace and always in the need of forgiveness and always in the need of encouragement from the Holy Spirit of God. And God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And so here we find that virtue overestimated is self-deception. Virtue overestimated is self-deception. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21, the Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We need to understand the need for grace, the need for grace, the need for grace. In chapter 2 and verse number 16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Oh, how we need grace, how we need grace. And then Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So here we find the Bible testifies that God's watching. And we can check off all the things. Well, I did this, and 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 well, I did this. And we get done and say, and God says, but that's not all I saw. That's not all I saw. And so we thank God every day. We need to thank God every day for his grace and for his mercy. And again, remember the Apostle Paul, I believe it was 90-some times that he spoke of grace in his writings. And seven times in the book of Galatians, he spoke of grace. And he's trying to help us to understand that we need God's grace. If we could have done it any other way, Jesus wouldn't have come. Jesus wouldn't have died. Even after we're saved, we need to allow him to live through us so that his grace is evident in our life. And so we see a reminder that we need God's grace in the self-deception, the way that we deceive ourselves. And maybe our friends and our family members that struggle with doing right, maybe if they just knew that we know that we're still sinners, saved by grace. The song, I Was Once a Sinner, But I Came. And when I sing that, I'm tempted to sing it. I was once a sinner, I still am. I still am. I know what I am with the Lord Jesus. Boy, I can't imagine what I'd have been without him. Thank God for grace. Thank God for his goodness. Father, I thank you today for your marvelous grace. I guess the songwriter said it's amazing grace. And it certainly is. Lord, just the life that you give us, Lord, your presence, your peace, a peace, Lord, that really does pass all understanding. We thank you that that's your gift to us. And Lord, it's even kind of a gauge to show us how our relationship is with you. But then, Lord, I guess it's kind of like the preacher said that, Lord, help me to be humble, but don't let me know it, lest in knowing it I become proud and fall from my humility. Seems like every time we just about think we got it worked out, up pops something else, and we cry out to Jesus, and we're thankful, Lord, he's always close. Thankful he's always willing to forgive and forget, and thank you, Lord, he's always willing to give us that which we need to get us through the tough times and the rough times and Lord, the doubting times, and we just praise you for being you, praise you for loving us, praise you for Bethel Baptist Church today, Lord, and the fact that the folk here still want the truth preached. Help us, Lord, today to honor you with all that we do, all that we say, all that we think. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.